This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
And that is what we refer to as a bop. And if you don't know, you don't know, right? So we're continuing a series this week, like Shelley said. It's called Game On. And so first off, I'd like to welcome half of you back to church for the new year. You guys, a lot of y'all weren't here last week. It was thin. So don't do that ever again. That's tough. So anyway, seriously, we're so glad you guys are here with us this morning. I think that one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself, one of the greatest investments that you can make in your life is to be connected to the church. To be not, y'all know that, especially in East Texas, everybody goes to church, everybody's a Christian, everybody's, you know, right? That's weird because, let me be sensitive. If you go to church, where you at? Right? Do you go to Church of St. Mattress? That's a different kind of church, because I don't see you here on Sunday morning. You must still be in bed having church with yourself. That's weird. Don't do that. Get to church. Be part of the church. Be connected to the church. It's one of the most valuable things that you can do as a person, as a follower of Jesus. Now there's this idea that, I could be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I could probably swim to Hawaii, but it'd be a lot easier to get on a plane and fly there, wouldn't it? And so when we join with others and we link together in our strength, is in our numbers, it makes our lives a lot easier and bearable and tolerable and sufferable. Okay, anyway, I'm done. So you're here. So glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Always be here. How's that? All right, so last week we started talking about goals. Goals are incredibly important. It's the new year. Everybody's talking about goals. Everybody's thinking about goals. Half of us have already botched our resolutions. How many people want to be honest this morning in church? How many of you have messed up one of your resolutions? That's cool. Can I be honest with you guys? I don't do resolutions. Just don't. I've always got a running list of goals. You know, it could be July, and I've got a running list of goals in my life, so I don't have to go like, oh, it's the new year, I'm gonna, new me. I'm like, no, fool, you carried the same dumb you into the new year. Ain't nothing new about it. So anyway, I'm gonna be kinder from here forward. It's one of my new year's resolutions. Oops, messed it up. That was funny. All right, so last week we talked about goals, how important they are, and essentially this was kind of the takeaway that growth is the goal. Growth is the goal. That's one of the highest priorities in our life as followers of Jesus. Growth is the goal. John said it like this: he must increase and I must decrease. Growth is the goal. We talk about growth in every other aspect of our life, and it's so evident in every other aspect of our life. And we use kind of the example of a child. A child is born into the world. They're an infant. They become a toddler. They become a terrorist. I mean, they become a child. They become a teenager and then become an adult, right? It's the growth process. Like, so they continue to grow, obviously. So we should also continue to correct. So that was where we started last week. So this week, I'm sorry. I have to apologize ahead of time. I cannot help myself. I just can't help myself. So the series is called Game On. The word game has four letters. G-A-M-E. And we're going to turn it into an acrostic. Yeah. Everybody, you know, splits for acrostics. So maybe don't do that. Don't do that. So we're going to do a series for the next 4 weeks. We're going to be looking at each of those letters. And here's what's cool. Each of those letters represent a goal that we should all be aspiring towards. This is not specific to anyone. This is for all of us. These are goals that every person in this room, as somebody who is in pursuit of Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you're not even there yet, you're just checking this thing out. These are still good goals, which is kind of fascinating that it's transcendent. So we're going to look at our letter G for this week in the word game, and our goal is generosity. The goal is generosity. That's a good one, right? Starts with the letter G, generosity. All makes perfect sense. Did you know what we do naturally with generosity is we immediately default to money? When somebody says generosity, the first thing you think about is money, right? And that's fine. That's a very natural, because I think that's how we typically frame it. That's generally how we set it up. But it's so much more than that. Generosity is so much more than money, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But we're going to start with the perfect example of generosity with Nintendo Entertainment System as our backdrop. How many of you guys, your first gaming console was a Nintendo? All right. How many, like, was an Atari? Yeah. That's good. Pong. You know all about it. What about, how many of you were, like, earlier, like, later on in life, you got a Super Nintendo? That was your first gaming console? Yeah? Was that, that's the one you were first. You got a Nintendo. But you can't love both. Can't do that. What about PlayStation? Whose first gaming console was PlayStation? What about Xbox? All right, well, we're getting, like, young. So, anyway, Nintendo, again, the single greatest gaming console in all of history and all of humanity. So there's an incredible story about generosity if you look at the most famous Nintendo game, Super Mario Brothers. Do we have to go any further to find an example of generosity than Super Mario Brothers? Let me give you, this is the synopsis of Super Mario Brothers, and then we'll come back and talk about how generous it is. In the fantasy setting of the Mushroom Kingdom, this is the synopsis. Do not judge me. In the fantasy setting of the Mushroom Kingdom, a tribe of turtle-like creatures known as the Koopa Troopas invade the kingdom and uses the magic of its king, Bowser, to turn its inhabitants, known as the Mushroom People, into inanimate objects such as bricks, stones, and horsehair plants. I did not know they were called horsehair plants. That's awesome. Bowser and his army also kidnap Princess Toadstool, the princess of the Mushroom Kingdom, and the only one with the ability to reverse Bowser's spell. After hearing the news, so this is the bad news, right? This is all the bad stuff that's going on. Bowser and the Koopa Troopas, they invade, they take the princess, kidnap her, and they're gone, right? And they're turning all the inhabitants into inanimate objects. So Mario, after hearing the news, Mario sets out to save the princess and free the kingdom from Bowser. After traveling through various parts of the kingdom and fighting Bowser's forces along the way, Mario reaches Bowser's final stronghold where he is able to defeat him by striking an axe on the bridge suspended over lava he is standing on. Y'all remember that? And it's like, anyway. Breaking the bridge, defeating Bowser, and allowing for the princess to be freed and saving the Mushroom Kingdom. Generosity. And you're probably like, what? I'll prove to you that it was generous. Mario, by trade, apparently, according to the storyline, was a plumber. Mario left his lucrative plumbing business, and I know that it's lucrative because I've paid plumbers. Mario left his lucrative plumbing business, and then he went and gave what is even more valuable than money, time, to go and save the princess from Bowser. What an incredible story. That's not a reach, is it? I don't care if you think it is or not. It's not, right? And I had to get Super Mario Brothers in. So I think it's just an incredible example of generosity, and we're going to look at kind of the different aspects of this. We're going to get up into it. Let's start with what everybody thinks of initially when you hear the word generosity. Let's talk about that green generosity. Everybody gets weird when you start talking about money up in church. It's so funny because we could talk about money anywhere else and everywhere else, but it's funny when you start talking about the money. People are funny with the money. Right? So let's talk about that green generosity. It's the first thing that people naturally associate with generosity. And that's understandable, again, because that's how we frame it. Now, for us, as followers of Jesus, people who, you know, again, we're on this journey, we're not perfect, but this is the effort, this is the striving that we're in pursuit of, this is what we're in pursuit of. Generosity is a major point of emphasis in Scripture. It is a major point of emphasis in Scripture. I didn't know what Shelley was going to say during the offering, but she basically preached this entire point. So I will re-preach the entire point, and you get to judge who wore it better. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says this. The point is this. I love how it sets it up with, the point is this. Isn't that kind of an interesting? It's like, hey, look, everything else that we've said up to this point is irrelevant. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The way that you give will determine the way that you receive. That's very simple, correct? Like, if you sow, if you give sparingly, begrudgingly, little, then you're probably not going to receive much either. But if you give bountifully, if you give excessively, if you give cheerfully, then you will receive likewise. It says in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Did you know? Let me kind of, I think this is a very great way to fully explain and understand generosity. Generosity is not an act. Generosity is an attitude. Wow. For such a good truth, that was a weak response, right? Generosity is not an act. Generosity is an attitude. God loves a cheerful giver. That's what generosity is. It's people who give. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Because again, the way that we think of generosity a lot of times is people who give a lot away, right? They give resources, or they write a fat check to an organization or something. They're like, oh, they're so generous. No, maybe they're just rich and they gave money. That doesn't mean that they're generous. Generosity is an attitude. So I could give you something. Let's say, give me something that would be a gift. Do we have a water bottle? Let's say, this is perfect. Let's say you're really thirsty. Like, you are dying of thirst, because we exaggerate a lot, right? We're hyperbolic. Let's say you are just incredibly, incredibly thirsty, and you come to me and you see that I've got this bottle of water, and you want some of the water that I have, and I'm just like, whatever, you jerk. And I throw the water. That was good. I didn't hit anybody. Sorry, Tim. Yeah, so I give it to you. I give you what you want, or I give you what you need, but I have an awful attitude about it. That's not generosity. Right? Like, yeah, sure, you met a need, but you're a jerk. So that's not what generosity is, attitude. Now, if on the other hand, I was like, yeah, come here, I'm going to waterfall you, and I'm going to give you some of this. I'm going to say, I got you, bro. Who got your back? I got your back, right? It's still football season. I'm like, still in that zone. So generosity is incredibly important. It's something that we should, as followers of Jesus, it's what we are aspiring to, one of the things that we're aspiring to. And you know what's funny to me? A lot of people, I've had like conversations with people who balk at this idea of giving part of their income to the church. Now, that's a layered response. It's a layered conversation. There's so much that goes on. There's so many factors. Like, generalizations are good, but there's nuance, right? Which nobody seems to understand anymore. We have to paint everything with, anyway, I'm not going to do that because I'll get myself in trouble. But I've had conversations with people who balk at this idea of giving a percentage of their income to the church. And I'm like, well, first off, now, if you don't go to church, then obviously that is not the expectation. Like, but if you are a part of the church, if you are a follower of Jesus, there's an expectation of us to give. It's one of the things that we're supposed to do. It's one of those things that God asks of us, requires of us. And a lot of people are like, right? And they've got their reasons. Now, so here's where my frustration with that, I guess where it manifests, is a lot of times when people have that attitude, the attitude, right, what they're really doing is looking to justify their actions. And so they don't want to give, and they probably got some other heart issues going on, and they don't want to deal with those, so they don't give, but in not giving, they criticize the thing that is actually good for us, is to give. There's a study about, because we use this expression sometimes called, that's the expression or the phrase is, give until it hurts, right? Did you know if you give until it hurts, there's a psychological thing that happens where it actually feels good? Like, when you sacrifice something, there's a chemical that's released in your brain that actually makes you feel good. So it's not give until it hurts, it's give until it feels good. It's fascinating, but you never get to experience it unless you are willing to give. Okay. But a lot of people, they don't like this idea of giving. Like Shelley said, a tithe is a tenth. That's what tithe means, is a tenth. Now, here's what's funny. When you're trying to make that argument from a biblical standpoint, you're kind of going to have some issues, I believe, with that, because you see it all throughout the Old Testament. It's a practice that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Malachi chapter 3 talks about bringing our tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in God's house. And everybody's like, yeah, but that's in the Old Testament. That's old school. And I'm like, so is creation, and we're still here. Like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, but that's Old Testament. That doesn't count. Like, that's weird, because Best I can tell, it's all still here. Also, yeah, that was pretty good. I didn't even plan on talking about that, but I did. But also, if you move to the New Testament, if this is your theology, this is your thinking, is it giving? Well, that's an Old Testament practice. What about this? Acts chapter 2, not only is it the New Testament, this is the birth, this is the origin of the New Testament church, which we are, right? We are part of the furtherance of the New Testament church. And it says this in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 46. It says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. I read that and I'm like, dear God, wouldn't that be nice? Like, because what we, never mind, stop. Verse 45, because that's not what we're talking about. Verse 45, it says, they sold, yeah, I'm going to talk about it for just a minute. It's an order of priorities, right? Do we have our differences? Absolutely. Are we unique? Intentionally. God has created us that way. He's given us different gifts, passions, preferences, all of those sorts of things. But all of those have to be secondary to what is primary. Primarily, we are seek the kingdom of God first, and everything else will be given to you. Now, unfortunately, even in church, people put identity before who they are, like legitimately, right? They put their social identity, their demographic identity, their economic identity, all of these identities. Well, I'm this political party. I am this color. I'm this gender. All of that stuff is great. Secondarily, it cannot supersede what is primary, and you being a follower of Jesus is primary. So all the believers were together and had everything in common. What we have together in common is Jesus. What we have together in common is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. So that's what it is that we have in common. Stop. Not that nobody in this church does this. Other churches elsewhere do this. Anyway, so I said what I needed to say. Verse 45 says this, so everybody was together, they had all things in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So, let's talk about the argument for just a moment, right? Oh, well, that giving 10% is, that's an Old Testament idea. Well, the New Testament idea is they sold their property and their possessions to give to anyone who's in need. 10% sounds a lot more manageable than 100%, right? So that's a pretty weak argument if that's the way that you think. So yes, giving is definitely part of generosity. It's important. It's a pursuit that we should all be in pursuit of. It's a noble cause. It's a good thing. Did you know that, like, here's the thing. You can live easy or you can live significant. And the choice is really yours, right? And I think that generosity is a significant thing. It's a noble thing that if we build it into the rhythm and schedule of our lives, it creates for us value, purpose, all of those sorts of things. So that's the first point. That's that green generosity. How many of you have heard of NFTs? How many of you have never heard of NFTs? Anybody? It's kind of a new thing, right? And I'll be honest, like, I've heard of them, I know of them, non-fungible tokens, right? But I don't like fully understand, like, well, it's digital, so I don't have it, but I have it, and it's worth gazillions of dollars or one Bitcoin or whatever. I don't know. So NFTs are non-fungible tokens, and it's kind of this new thing. So we're going to talk about non-fungible generosity. Because why not? Non-fungible generosity. I think generosity, by definition, generosity is not limited to financial transactions or gifts. If you don't know what NFTs are, just Google it. It'll pop up and blow your mind. So by definition, like I said, generosity is definitely not limited to financial transactions or gift. It's really anything that you have that you are willing to give to or share with others is something that you can be generous with. That is generosity. It's anything that you have that you're willing to share with others. In fact, what I think oftentimes is even more valuable than money are the gifts that you have, the time that you have, the skills that you have. And when you share those with others, it can create value in their life that's way more significant than money. right? Because it's unfortunate that we for whatever reason, man, our minds are just wired to understand transactions. Like, we understand, well, I have this much money, I give it to you, and you give me, you know, X product or thing. And it's easy for us to understand that. It's a lot harder to understand kind of these non-fungible transactions. These non-fungible just means not monetary, right? Is that what it means? Ish, sort of. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, we know all of the axioms about time, and we understand, like, it's this precious resource. It's a non-renewable resource. It's something that none of us can add more of. Like, you get 24. That's all you get. No, none of us get 25. Right? You don't get to add an extra hour to your day. And we all have an expiration date. Like the milk in your refrigerator that's still there, that stinks. Like, pour it out. It's ridiculous. Like, we've all got, have y'all seen the website, The Death Clock? Don't go. Like, it's not morbid. It's just, it's numbers, right? But it definitely puts kind of like this, I don't know, sense of urgency around the fact that literally there's a countdown that's taking place as we speak. And our time, who knows what it is? We don't know. That's above our pay grade. But the bottom line is this. Time is a very precious commodity that we have a finite amount of. And so for you, for me, to be willing to share that with someone else, that is the highest expression of generosity, right? Money's awesome. If you give money, that's incredible. Like, do it with a good attitude. Be a cheerful giver. But to give time or to give skill or to give the things that God has specifically and uniquely placed in you that are natural to you, to share those with others are the greatest expressions of generosity the world has ever known. That's, to me, that's even more important a lot of times and in a lot of ways than, because if you do stuff like that, then giving money is easy. If you're willing to give time, giving money is easy. So be willing to serve. And here's what's cool about this. Like, what is, so again, speaking to our uniqueness, God has given all of us kind of, again, unique abilities, unique interests, unique affinities. I've told you guys before, I know some of you don't believe me because I'm just so cool. I'm a nerd. I love nerdy things. I like computers. I like fixing computers. Don't bring me your computer. Don't. I like fixing my own computers, right? And it's not even that. It's just like, we've got like 20 computers here at the church, and who do you think is responsible for all of the troubleshooting, networking, and issues that go on? So I have to fix all of that stuff, right? So it's a lot, so don't bring me your computer. But I like that stuff. I enjoy it. So I was having a conversation last week with somebody who just got a new MacBook, which, again, if you're going to buy a computer, buy a Mac. Like, this PC garbage nonsense. Just stop wasting your time. Let me guess, you use an Android too, right? And we can always tell, because when you text us, we don't get the iMessage, and it doesn't show, you know, it's whatever. Listen, to each their own. You've got your preferences, I understand, but one's right and one's wrong, clearly. So all of that to say, just bought a new MacBook, and they were having some issues getting it set up, and so I was like, just give it to me, I'll fix it, and I'll give it back to you. And it would have taken them, they were at the point, they were about to drive to Tyler to drop it off at a store that they were going to charge him an arm and a leg to fix it. And I'm like, just give it to me. It took me literally an hour. And I was doing other stuff while I was doing that. Because I've done it before. I know what to do. And so I did it, got it fixed up, text them, done. And they were just so over the top appreciative of something that took me just a little bit of time. Now, again, it took me a little bit of time in that moment. It's taken me a lot of time to learn how to do those things. So when you are willing to share with other people what's taken you a lot of time to learn, and it only takes you a little bit of time now, it is an incredible expression of generosity. So buy MacBooks. I guess that was the point. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but at least they work, right? We can have, I have plenty of examples and conversations that you don't want to have, okay? So it could be summed up. I think this can be summed up in a very simple statement. Because this statement is so powerful, but it also speaks to the limitations that we all have. Do for one what you wish you could do for all. Do for one what you, because again, the limitations are you cannot do everything for everyone. You are not Jesus. You are not a superhero. And some people run around as if they are superheroes trying to help people with all of their problems, and their life is in shambles because they haven't taken time. Like the self-love thing, like you can go too far with it, but there's value in it. It's important. You guys understand the balance and all of that? So we have limitations. We cannot do everything for everyone, but we can do something for someone. So generosity is do for one, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to give, do for one what you wish you could do for all. So my challenge for us this year is to be intentional about building generosity into our lives, not just in talk, because we do enough of that, right? Like, people talk about all of these principles, people talk about all of these really good virtues, but how about we just be about some of these virtues? How about we actually, instead of talking about generosity, what if we were just actually, I don't know, generous? What instead of talking about sharing and loving and giving, what if we just did those things and we didn't talk about it as much? Because there's enough chatter in the world, and y'all know that the chatter doesn't matter. What matters is what we actually do. Okay. But was that good? It's not uncomfortable anymore. It's all good. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy in church. Ish. So here's kind of the every good story has to have the nemesis, correct? Right, everybody, you remember when you were in seventh grade and you were starting to learn like creative writing and you started kind of going through all of that. One of the things that every good story has to have, it's got to have some kind of opposition. It's got to have, you know, an enemy or a nemesis or an arch rival or whatever the case is. And so when it comes to generosity, there is a nemesis. There is, to use Nintendo terms, there's a boss battle, right? Every good game has two concepts. You've got the leveling up, because if you're not leveling up, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You got to level up, which is why this whole series is about leveling up our lives. But the second thing that constitutes a really good video game are the boss battles, right? Y'all remember, again, using Mario as the backdrop. You go through level one. It's like level one, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, and then you go to the castle and you fight the first sub-boss. Right, you guys are looking at me like you do not know what I talk about, and I'm really disappointed if you don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to boss battles. So I'm just going to look at you like you've been looking at me. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I just really needed to get a drink. So this is what we're going to call the generosity boss battle. The boss battle that you have to have when it comes to generosity, and this is one of those things that it's kind of uncomfortable, if we're being honest, right? It's one of those things that people don't like to see in themselves, but I think it's something that's in each and every one of us that we have to combat, that we have to be aware of, that we have to suppress, that we have to deal with. And the boss battle, when it comes to generosity, that has to take place is the boss battle with greed. I could tell you it was getting uncomfortable, right? It's greed. Like, every one of us are greedy. It's just a matter of whether or not you've done the work of suppressing it, dealing with it, and not allowing it to manifest. Like, every person in this room, again, we have a sin nature. We're fallen people. So we all have a propensity towards greed. It's something that every person, I believe, deals with on some level. Like, do you remember when you were a kid and you had a toy? Whose toy was that? My toy. Right? And your friend, or, you know, I don't know if people actually do this. Is there something that takes place in the movies? They have play dates. I never had play dates. My mom was like, she's just like, I'm just kidding, getting around anybody, right? And we ain't doing that to the world. So I guess one of the things you see a lot of times in movies is like the kid has a toy and they have a play date, and then the play date comes over and they wants to play with the toy, and the kid's like, mine, right? It's like, where the devil? Because they never say it like, oh, it's my toy. They're like, it's my toy, right? Precious. It's weird. Because why? Because greed is inherent, right? It's built in to our sin nature. Greed is something that every person, if you want to be generous, you have to have a boss battle with greed in your life. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says this: watch out! Exclamation point. I think, you know, punctuation is important. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, because greed is not just money, right? Greed is also, just like generosity is not just money, it's also time. Like, maybe you're greedy with your time. Maybe you go to work, you get off work, which you work for yourself, right? I mean, you work for somebody else, but you are working for yourself to provide for yourself, to create income for yourself. And then so you've done all of that selfishly. Every one of us do it, right? So even if you're, I'm providing for my family, well, that's still a pretty selfish pursuit, correct? So then you get off of work, and so we spend 40 or 50 hours a week working, and then you go home and you sit on the couch and you watch Netflix for 5 hours. The statistics are that we consume, as Americans, it's something like 5 or 6 hours a day of screen time. Do you know what that is? It's greed. I didn't know everybody was going to be so sensitive this morning. Right? It really is, if you think about it. Because what is it when we have our phones and we are immersed in our phones? What are we doing? We are isolating ourselves from other people. We made it all about us, and we are immersed in it. We're infatuated with it, and it's selfish for us. It's greedy with our time to only and overexert or kind of, I guess, in terms of the scale, kind of to overdo our time with our phones. Everybody sensitive? We good? If everybody's offended, I'll just keep going and we'll just keep it. So here's a little, this is not a comprehensive list, but here's a little list of maybe indicators that you might be struggling with greed. And again, we all do. Greedy people, this is some of the things that greedy people do. They talk a lot and they worry a lot about money. They are not cheerful givers. They are reluctant to share. And again, that's not just money, that's resources, time, talent, skill, etc. Greedy people are poor losers. I'm pretty greedy, I guess. I gotta fix that. They're poor losers because we're not willing to share victory with other people in that particular instance. They quibble over insignificant amounts of money. They talk as if they have just enough to get by. Have you ever talked to somebody who's doing pretty well and they act like they are in poverty? It's greed, right? Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to deflect. They're trying to make sure that nobody else gets close to what they have so that they can continue to accumulate more. And nobody, it doesn't feel threatening. If I act like I'm poor, then nobody's going to be asking for what I don't have, right? So they talk as if they have just enough to get by. They create a culture of secrecy around them. They won't let you forget what you've done or what they've done for you. Y'all know some of those? It's like they constantly, I'm like, I don't even want you to do something for me if you're going to hold it over my head, but that's what greedy people do. They are reluctant to express gratitude. They aren't content with what they have. There's a difference between contentment and satisfaction. You don't have to be satisfied, but you do need to be content. Remember the difference? So, and then the last one is they attempt to control people with their money. So this year, figure out a way to beat your Bowser. Figure out a way to have a boss battle with greed. If any of those, or you know what it is, like we're not dumb people. I mean, for the most part, right? We're smart people. Like we know what we struggle with. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know the areas in our life where greed maybe is just beginning to surface. It's beginning to manifest. And if you need to have a boss battle in your life, do that. Because I promise you, I assure you, whatever is greater than that, like whatever it is that I can give a 100% guarantee that when you get to the end of your life, you're going to wish you would have been more generous and less greedy. Every one of us, when we're laying on our deathbed, nobody's going to look back and be like, man, I wish I would have been more selfish. I wish I would have been more greedy with my time. I wish I wouldn't have given so much to other people. I wish I wouldn't have shared what God gave me with other people. I just wish I would have made it all about me as I'm dying alone on this bed. Nobody does that because generosity is a worthwhile and noble pursuit. So have your boss battle, whatever that looks like for you. Be honest with yourself and do that work. So let's circle back. We said we would. Hold that thought. These are so cool. So they don't actually work in Nintendo. So if you are trying to put it in, first thing, and then you would, if you don't know, you don't know. I'm sorry. So if you look at the Game On series on the back of it, one of the things that we're actually, so generosity is incredibly important on an individual level, but generosity, this is one of the things that we are kind of making as a stated goal for us as a church this year, is that we want to be generous. We want, as a church, to continue to be generous, to build, and to grow in that area. So we're going to talk about corporate generosity but just a minute. So do y'all know that, I think Shelley mentioned this, 2 years ago we started a campaign called Here to Stay. Now, I'm really smart. So we started that in January of 2020. Because I, with foresight, I saw that we were going to have a little issue that would literally bring the world to a screeching halt. Like just, right, just awful. Now, it was especially, you know, and you guys know this, like your businesses and everything that you were dealing with, like just so much uncertainty and so much just, you know, so many questions about what's going on, what's the future look like. And so we didn't know any of that. We started this Here to Stay campaign in January of 2020. Less than 2 months later, you know, like everything just literally. In spite of that, we have raised about $45,000 for Here to Stay, which is awesome. Yeah, that is cause for celebration. I guess all things considered, it's gone pretty well. Let me try to be as diplomatic about this, because everybody likes diplomacy, right? So that's awesome. That's great that we have raised that much money. I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative. And that's really good until you start kind of looking at the big picture, right? That when it comes to property, the Here to Stay campaign is our permanency plan. It's for us to acquire property. We're not even sure what that looks like. We're just preparing for the opportunity. Did you know that in the Old Testament, speaking of the Old Testament and, you know, all of that stuff, one of the really cool stories in the Old Testament was, and there are several stories like this, God would tell people to go do something before they ever saw the promise of what it was that they were doing. Right? He would go tell them to dig ditches because the rain is coming, and the rain hadn't come in a really long time, but they would have to go dig the ditches, and then the rain would come. And I think with Here to Stay, what we're doing is we're just digging ditches, man. We're just preparing for whatever it is, what opportunity it is that God has for us down the road. So we started that, $45,000, that's awesome. We need a lot more, honestly. It just takes a lot more. I mean, we have a 10,800 square feet here. If to recreate even what we have currently would be, you know, 1.5 million or so, property, utilities, and all of that stuff. So bottom line is we just need to continue to level up when it comes to Here to Stay. So one of the things that we're doing this year, one of our goals, if you look at the bottom of, does everybody have this? Get it out, wave it high, be proud. Throw your hands up in the air, wave them around like you just don't care. Okay. Bottom of the Game On goals card, it has this Game On commitment card. Now let me explain what this is. This is an opportunity for us collectively to be generous corporately, right? It is this corporate generosity. Now, who does this pertain to? Who does this apply to? If you are part of this church, if you are connected to this church, if this is your church home, we don't do church membership. We never have. We've got just different thoughts on all of that. We don't value membership. We value participation. I've seen so many people who are members of church that don't even go to that church, and I'm like, what is the point of membership if you're not connected, if you're not contributing, if you're not participating? Then, so we've always valued participation. If you are a participant, if you are connected to, I view church more as family, right? If you're part of this family, then this is for you. This is something for you to consider. What can you do to contribute to our Game On, again, all we're calling it the Game On commitment card, but it's all going to Here to Stay. Is that pretty clear? And as far as members, can I say this really quickly about membership? We don't think anything's wrong with membership. I believe that membership kind of has this, it could potentially create an illusion, because I don't think it's real, but it could create an illusion of exclusivity. Like, because y'all seen signs on doors for clubs that say members only. Like, oh, well, I can't go. And we don't want to create any barriers for anyone to not ever come to the church, to have an opportunity to hear the gospel and fall in love with Jesus. We would never want to create any kind of barrier, whether that barrier is real or not. Does that make sense? So all of that to say, we are kicking off this Game On commitment card thing. So this is what we're asking everyone to do. We're asking you to not do anything hastily. We're not asking you just to flippantly, you know, throw a number on this. So basically, every family or family unit, which, you know, if you're single, you're a family unit, right? So, and we're doing a new series next month called In Search Of, and we're going to talk about all that stuff. It's going to be really good. And I still, okay, haven't found. Anyway, so the Game On commitment card, over the next few weeks, by the end of the month, I just pray. Like, I know that's such an oversimplification, but I think if we pray and we ask God what he would have us do, and if it's nothing, I mean, I think you're wrong. You prayed to the wrong God, but I'm not offended. We won't be mad at you. Nobody's getting, you know, you're not a member, so you can't get kicked out, right? You just get to still come. So pray and ask God what he would have you do when it comes to this game on commitment card. So what we're asking is over the next 12 months, this is the amount that you are pledging to give. You know, let's say it's $500 and you want to give, what is $500 divided by 12, right? 60-ish. Thanks for the help. Cool. No, it's like 45, 4250, whatever. So let's say, you know, I'm going to give $500 over the course of the year. That's my commitment. Take that, fill it out, turn it into the offering, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to collect these cards over the course of the rest of the month. We're going to do, you know, the work, enter it all. We're going to total it all up, and then we're going to enter it into a spreadsheet so we can keep track of it. Because what's the point in making a commitment and not having any accountability to the commitment that you made? Right? Because any one of us could just throw out an arbitrary number and feel really good about ourselves, but how about we actually do the work? And that's what the expectation is. So we're leveling up when it comes to our Here to Stay campaign, and we're doing it through the Game On commitment cards. Everybody with us? Good. Let me pray for us. God, you are so good. Oh, no. Sorry. Everybody pay attention. I have a gift. You can have that. You can take it. Thanks, Kyler. I wanted to just very quickly demonstrate the difference between generosity and greed. Can I get two volunteers? You two. You guys come here. Y'all come here. I didn't say come up on the stage, but that's fine. Come on, Kadri. Got it. Okay. Let's see. That's fine. Put your hand out. Just one. Don't be greedy. Put your hand out. Open-handed. Just one. I think greed, I mean, because this is powerful, right? This is, you know what this is? This is protective. When we have our fist, what are we doing? We're in a defensive state. We're protecting who? Ourselves. So let's just say, this is what greed gets you, bro. You get a little bit. You can have, you get to keep it. Come on. No, don't open your hand. This is what generosity gets you. It's good. Now you got to eat them all at once. I'm just kidding. Stop. Bottom line, be generous. Be generous, people. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for, God, I am so thankful for the heart of this church, that there are so many people who have given over the years to make what it is that we do possible, not just money, God, but have given time, talent, and treasure to make what it is that we do possible. We are so thankful for that. God, we're thankful that we serve a generous God who gives to us liberally, not based on merit, not based on what we deserve, but he gives it to us out of the abundance of his love and grace towards us. And we are so thankful for that. God, help us to be generous people. God, help us to fight the tendencies that we all have towards greed. Help us to love you and to love others as we build your church. It's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.